Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala khatemin nebiyyin amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Adopting the preferences of the Master sallallahu aleyhi ve alihi ve sellem. Attar supplication. O merciful Lord, whoever reads or listens to the booklet adopting the preferences of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, grant them a portion of the love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam held by the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. Grant them, their parents and their family, entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The virtue of salat. The final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, whoever recites salat upon me 100 times, Allah writes between his two eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell, and he shall keep him with the martyrs on the day of resurrection. Throwing the shawl into the fire. Sayyiduna Amr bin Shu'ayba radiyallahu anhu narrates, once I presented myself in the court of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wearing a shawl lightly dyed with safflower, usfur. Observing this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked me, what is this you are wearing? I sensed signs of displeasure from this question. When I returned to my family, they had lit the stove, so I threw that shawl into the fire. The following day, when I presented myself in the prophetic court, the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked, where is that shawl? I replied, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I threw it into the fire. He remarked, why did you not give that shawl to the women? There would have been no harm in letting the women wear it. Demolishing the building to the ground. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that once, whilst the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was travelling outside his blessed residence, he saw a high building constructed in the shape of a dome. He asked the noble companions radiallahu anhum, what is this? They replied, this is the house of a certain Ansari. Upon hearing this, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam remained silent. Later, when that Ansari presented himself in the prophetic court and offered salam, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not grant a reply. He thought perhaps the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had not noticed. So he offered salam again. But for the second time, he received no reply. Becoming distressed, he said to the noble companions radiallahu anhum present there, by Allah, I find the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam displeased with me. The noble companions radiyallahu anhum informed him that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had seen his building whilst passing by and asked whom it belonged to, implying that their assessment was that the cause of displeasure was the high structure he had built. Hearing this, the Ansari returned to his building and demolished it until it was level with the ground. By chance, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam passed by that same spot again and noticed the dome was no longer there. He inquired about it and the noble companions radiyallahu anhum replied, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when we informed the Ansari that you had expressed dislike upon seeing his house and had not replied to his salam for that reason, he demolished his house so thoroughly that no sign of it remains. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then stated, every construction is a burden upon man, except that which is of absolute necessity and compulsion. Our current condition. Dear Islamic brothers, observe the extent of the love the noble companions radiyallahu anhum held for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Any matter that the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam found disagreeable, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum would eliminate it from its very roots. Just as the shawl of Sayyidina Amr bin Shu'ayb radiyallahu anhu was disliked by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, so he destroyed it in the fire. Similarly, when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam disliked the Ansari's tall domed house, the Ansari razed it to the ground. The Sharia is defined by the preference of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Whatever he says, desires, ordains, likes or dislikes, the rulings of the Sharia are formulated upon that. You have observed the spirit of obedience and the profound love of the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. Now let us examine our own spirit and reflect. On one hand, they were Muslims, and on the other, we are also Muslims. Yet, how distinct is the difference between us? They possessed such enthusiasm, spirit, honor, courage, and strength that success would embrace them wherever they went, and their goal would follow them closely. Conversely, for Muslims like us, the destination seems to drift further away wherever we go. Their leader was the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and our leader is also the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. However, they were embodiments of obedience whilst we are disobedient. Due to their obedience, they were honored, whereas we, due to our disobedience, have faced humiliation. O Muslims, remember, you can never be successful until you prioritize the preferences of the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam over your own desires. Allah's beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam loves salah, whereas the heedless Muslim loves sleep. The Muazzin proclaims the announcement repeatedly, As-salatu khayrun minan nawm, prayer is better than sleep. Yet today's Muslim remains asleep under his covers. The beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, meaning the coolness of my eyes has been placed in salah. Unfortunately, today's heedless Muslim is unconcerned with what brings coolness to the blessed eyes of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ah, the coolness of the Prophet's eyes is in salah, but the coolness of the eyes of a heedless Muslim is in watching films, dramas, and committing sins of the eye. Regrettably, we have not practically adopted the preferences of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as our own. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam loves the beard, long sunnah length hair, and the crown of the imama. But what is your preference? I do not speak from myself. Rather, it is the command of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Lengthen the beards, trim the mustaches, and oppose the fire worshippers, meaning Do not make your faces resemble theirs. Today, if someone keeps long hair or adorns their face with a fist-length beard according to the Sunnah, unfortunately, those who call themselves Muslims look upon them with contempt and mock them by calling them a mullah. A mother grieves and a father becomes infuriated at such an appearance. O ignorant father, you should be overjoyed that your beloved son has fulfilled the sunnah of the one whose kalima you recite. Remember, imitating the righteous is a virtuous act. In this regard, listen to two faith-inspiring incidents. Number one, salvation attained by imitating the righteous. When Allah Almighty caused Pharaoh and his people to drown in the sea, one man amongst them was saved. This was the man who used to imitate Sayyiduna Musa Kalimullah alayhi salam in dress and speech. And Pharaoh and his people used to laugh at his antics. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was greatly surprised at his survival and asked in the divine court, O Lord, this man used to cause me more distress than the other followers of Pharaoh. Allah proclaimed, O Musa, we did not drown him because he was wearing clothing like yours, and we did not punish the one who adopts the appearance of our beloved servants. Number two, the unique will to sprinkle flour on the head and beard. A jester at the time of his death made a final request to his friend. When you are about to bury me, sprinkle flour into the hair of my head and beard. The friend said, My friend, you spent your life joking and jesting. At least refrain from it in your final moments. He replied, If you are truly my well-wisher, do as I say. The friend smiled and agreed. After his passing, whilst burying him, he sprinkled flour on his head and beard. A few days later, he saw his deceased friend in a dream and asked, Ma fa'ala Allahu bika? How did Allah deal with you? The deceased replied, I was questioned as to why I made the request to have flour sprinkled on me. I replied, O Allah, I heard the saying of your beloved Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, inna Allah yastahi an zishaybatil muslim. Indeed, Allah is merciful towards the white-haired Muslim. Becoming old was not in my control, so I thought I should at least adopt the appearance of old age. Allah said, Go, I have forgiven you. White hair is honor and dignity. It is stated in the hadith, when Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam observed his first white hair, he asked, O Lord, what is this? It was proclaimed, This is dignity, ay waqar. He submitted, O my Lord, increase my dignity. O devotees of the Messenger, remember, until we prioritize the preferences of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam over our own, we will remain unsuccessful in this world. And there is very little hope of success in the hereafter. Certainly, the mercy of Allah is immense. But consider how far our rebellion has reached, how much we have fallen prey to misguidance. Previously, if a person committed a sin, he would feel remorseful. But now the state is such that we rejoice after sinning. And if someone tries to advise such people, he is mocked in return. I have been sent to break musical instruments. Dear Islamic brothers, nowadays, like other sins, music has also become very common, even though its condemnation is mentioned in the hadith. Just as the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, I have been sent to break musical instruments. Ah, on one hand is this blessed statement of the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whilst on the other is the character of us Muslims, that the tunes of music are heard from every home. Which house is it where songs and music are not played? Which house is it where films and dramas are not watched? The more wealth one possesses, the more heedless the servant becomes of his Lord. Night and day, he is consumed by the worry of his riches. Furthermore, there is the constant threat of robbers, and officials from the taxation department frequently circle his home. Some unfortunate wealthy individuals are so deeply embroiled in worrying over their wealth that they lose their very lives over it. In this regard, listen to a cautionary incident: the death of a trader due to worry over wealth. An extraordinary incident occurred in Pakistan, where a wealthy man was sent an official notice from the tax department to pay a tax of 10 million, i.e. 1 crore rupees. He began bargaining for a bribe with the officers so that he might escape with the minimum possible amount. He was told, if you wish to pay the tax officially, you must pay the full 10 million rupees. However, if you wish to go through the back door, i.e. by engaging in bribery, the matter can be settled for half. That wealthy man was perhaps willing to pay 3 million as a bribe. In short, a deal could not be struck and the officers left. On one hand, this is the state of Muslims, that they are engaging in the exchange of bribes. Whilst on the other hand, there is the admonitory hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ar-rashi wal-murtashi kilahuma finnar, meaning the one who gives a bribe and the one who takes it are both in hell. But where do today's Muslims fear such warnings? In any case, that wealthy man was consumed all night by the worry that he was being asked for 5 million rupees as a bribe. Eventually, amidst this overthinking, sleep apparently overtook him. When morning came, his family members tried hard to wake him, but it was discovered that due to the worry of those 5 million rupees, his heart had failed, and he had fallen into the sleep of death. Dear Islamic brothers, did wealth benefit this man? Remember, wealth cannot save anyone from death. If wealth could save someone, no one today possesses wealth like that of Qarun. Qarun was so wealthy that a large group of people used to carry the keys to his treasures. It is said that this group consisted of 40 individuals. Just imagine how vast must the treasure be whose keys alone are carried by a whole group. Yet that treasure was of no use to him. The tragic end of Qarun. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, upon the command of Allah, demanded zakat from Qarun, he was not prepared to pay it. He began making excuses and eventually refusing the zakat. He said, when I have earned the wealth, how can I give it to you? He then gave money to a woman and instructed her to accuse Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam of immorality with her when he was gathering the people for a sermon, so that, mu'adallah, he might be humiliated before the public. One day, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam gathered the people and delivered a sermon of guidance, at that very moment, Qarun interrupted him and alleged that he had, mu'adallah, committed evil with a certain woman. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was deeply saddened by this and said, "Bring that woman before me." When the woman was called for verification, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam said in a majestic and awe-inspiring manner, "Tell the truth. What is the reality?" The woman trembled and spoke the truth, revealing that Qarun had given her immense wealth to convince her to cast a slanderous accusation upon him. At that moment, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam went into prostration with tears in his eyes and supplicated, "O Allah, send your wrath and anger upon Qarun." Along with this, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam announced that his companions should move towards his side and the supporters of Qarun towards Qarun's side. Except for two sycophants and flatterers, everyone moved towards Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Then Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam commanded the earth, "O earth, seize Qarun." Immediately he sank into the ground up to his knees. He alayhi salam commanded the earth again, and he sank up to his waist. Seeing this, Qarun began to writhe and wail, but his crying was of no use, and he continued to sink until he was completely swallowed by the earth. When Qarun had sunk, his two companions, who were overtaken by misfortune, began to spread propaganda that Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam had caused Qarun to sink so that he could seize his house and treasures. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam again entered a state of Jalal, i.e. majesty, and supplicated to Allah Almighty that Qarun's house and treasures should also sink. Consequently, his house and treasures also sank into the earth. And now, until the day of resurrection, Qarun will continue to sink into the earth, and along with him, his treasure will continue to sink as a burden upon his head. O devotees of the Messenger, it has become clear that wealth and riches are a burden and cannot save anyone. Remember, success in this world and the hereafter does not lie in being wealthy, rather it lies in obedience and submission to Allah and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We cannot be successful until we prioritize the preference of Allah and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam over our own. Therefore, in every matter, we must give precedence to their preference. For example, our heart may desire to remain asleep at the time of Fajr to complete our rest. But Allah and His beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, have commanded us to offer prayer. Thus, we must perform the prayer by choosing their preference over ours. Similarly, if the heart desires to shave the beard, we must oppose the heart and keep a fist-length beard according to the sunnah. Unfortunately, nowadays, only a few act this way. The influence of obedience to the nafs, i.e. the carnal self, and Satan is everywhere. Remember, whoever opposes the nafs becomes successful, regardless of who they are. In this regard, a faith-inspiring incident is presented. The patient became the healer. Once Sayyiduna Shaykh Khawaja Mahbub Ilahi Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi Alayhi became severely ill. His disciples suggested, "Excellency, there is a non-believer here who performs incantations and his treatment is very effective. If permitted, we may take you to him." He replied, "I will not go to a non-believer for treatment." The illness intensified and he, rahmatullahi alayhi, became unconscious. The disciples carried him to that non-believer. When he blew upon him, he, rahmatullahi alayhi, regained consciousness and recovered. Finding himself healthy, He looked at the non-believer and asked, "How did you achieve such mastery in healing?" He replied, "My teacher took a covenant from me that whatever the nafs says, I must do the opposite. Therefore, when I desire to drink cold water, I drink hot. When I feel like eating rice, I eat bread. By constantly doing the opposite of what the nafs says, this power has developed in me." The Shaykh, Rahmatullahi alayhi, asked, "Tell me, does your nafs permit you to become a Muslim or not?" He replied, "It forbids me." The Shaykh, Rahmatullahi alayhi, remarked, "Since it forbids you from becoming a Muslim, according to your own principle, you should oppose it and become a Muslim." These words were uttered in such an appealing manner that they pierced his heart like an arrow. He spontaneously cried out, "I repent from my disbelief and become a Muslim," and then entered the fold of Islam by reciting the Kalima. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see how a non-believer achieved such progress by opposing his nafs? And ultimately, Allah blessed him with the treasure of Islam through the spiritual gaze of a saint, i.e. a wali. We are the slaves of our nafs, and whatever it demands, we carry it out. If the nafs demands money, we look at neither haram nor halal, neither reward nor sin. Our only thought is that we want money, whether obtained through gambling, adulteration, bribery or usury. We assume we are very noble because we do not ruin anyone's home, pick pockets or commit armed robberies. Remember, those who commit armed robberies are criminals, but there are many in society who are not criminals in appearance, yet their aim, like other criminals, is to loot people, such as those who exchange bribes or sell adulterated goods. On the day of resurrection, all such people will be seized in the court of Allah Almighty, because just as those who loot people via robberies are performing deeds that lead to hell, similarly, those who deal in bribes and sell adulterated goods are also performing deeds that lead to hell. Remember, criminals may escape in this world by giving bribes or through someone's recommendation, but when they fall prey to death and reach the dark grave, neither bribes nor recommendations will be of use. If Allah and His beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, are displeased, who will save such people from the punishment of the grave? Therefore, such people should immediately repent and abandon sinful works. It may occur to someone that there is still plenty of life left and they will repent later. To such people, it is said that although the time of death is fixed, we do not know when it will arrive. We may suddenly fall victim to death at any time, morning or evening, and depart from this transitory world. Some are departing from this mortal world due to death, while others are stepping into it by being born. In this manner, billions and trillions of individuals have passed away, and even now, hundreds of thousands pass away on a daily basis, and this process will continue until the day of resurrection. O devotees of the Messenger, reflect. What is the reality of this world and why are we so enamored with it? For the sake of Allah, consider this brief life and have mercy on your delicate body. For this fragile body can bear neither heat nor cold. Today, Muslims with great interest watch films and dramas, listen to music, sell adulterated goods, speak lies, hurl abuses, miss their prayers, shave their beards and distress their parents. Along with this, they do not provide religious and sunnah-inspired upbringing to their children. Instead, mu'adhallah, some unfortunate souls even harbour an aversion to the sunnah. Who knows what will become of such people? We cannot endure rain or floods. We become startled at the sound of a firecracker. We shudder if a cat suddenly meows, and we fear the barking of a dog. Remember, if we reach the grave in such a state that we possess neither prayers nor the fast of Ramadan, if we continue to shave the beard in this world, wear un-Islamic clothing, and instead of keeping sunnah length hair on the head, we keep various un-Islamic haircuts, if instead of adorning the head with the blessed imamah, we roam bareheaded, living life solely according to the demands of the modern era, if this happens, what will become of us in the grave? And who will save us from its punishment? Unfortunately, if an Islamic brother tries to advise us, our impressions are often like this. He is stuck in the past. Man has reached the moon. Yet the Maulvi, either religious scholar, is still talking about such things, etc. The Maulvi tells you about that great personality who, whilst remaining on earth, split the moon into two pieces with a gesture of his finger, and who, on the night of ascension, either Mi'raj, travelled far beyond the moon, indeed beyond the magnificent throne, either Al-Arsh al-Azam. Those who consider the words of the Maulvi to be antiquated would realize how excellent the teachings of Islam and Sharia are if they read the noble Quran with understanding and carefully studied the blessed ahadith of Allah's beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Everyone must die in this mortal world. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatumul Aliyah states, everyone must die in this mortal world. No one is to remain forever. There was a time when our grandfathers and grandmothers were in this world, but now none of them remain alive. My parents have also passed away, as have my elder brother and two or three sisters. I have personally witnessed some of them passing away. Indeed, I have lowered some into the grave with my own hands. When everyone has gone, then certainly one day I too must depart from this world. Today, someone's first night of marriage may have concluded, and he might be feeling immense joy, whilst today someone else might be drawing their last breath on their deathbed. Similarly, many such grooms have been seen who, yesterday, were walking gracefully towards the masjid with flower garlands around their necks to offer voluntary prayers. Flowers and notes were being showered upon them. Large pots were being cooked for guests, and their joy knew no bounds. Then a time came when flowers were again showered upon those same grooms. But now they were not walking gracefully to the masjid to offer prayers of gratitude. Rather, they were enclosed in a cage-like palanquin carried on the shoulders of people towards the graveyard. Those relatives and friends whose lips were overflowing with sounds of laughter during the wedding now have streams of tears flowing from their eyes. In this regard, listen to a cautionary incident concerning a young man. Kidneys failed on the first night of marriage. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatumul Aliyah states, a young man from our community was married in a modern style with no expenses spared. It was only the first night of his marriage when both of the poor man's kidneys failed. I reached the hospital to visit him, and seeing him, I began to think that if he survived, perhaps he would become a regular worshipper and prepare to mend his hereafter, but he could not recover. Dear Islamic brothers, reflect. That young man, who had worn garlands a few days prior and walked to the masjid to offer voluntary prayers, the poor man's kidneys failed. And then just a few days later, he was carried on shoulders and lowered into the dark grave. The proclamation of the angel. Sayyiduna Wahab bin Munabbih rahmatullahi alayhi stated, I read in a book that an angel in the fourth heaven proclaims, O 40 years old, you are a crop, and we shall harvest you. O 50 year olds, for you is that which you sent ahead and that which you left behind. O 60 year olds, there is no excuse left for you. If only the creation had not been created, and once created, if only they had known why they were created. The day of resurrection is upon you, so prepare for it. Dear Islamic brothers, this world with which we are so infatuated and for which we have disregarded the distinction between halal and haram will soon be separated from us. There are many amongst us who show clear signs of old age on their faces, yet their condition is such that some are clean shaven, some have beards shorter than a fist length, some are habitual in cursing, and some are negligent concerning their prayers. Such people must repent immediately, for old age will not be followed by youth. However, if a young man harbors the wish that he will repent in old age, that is a different matter. But even this wish is a delusion and a deception from Satan. This is because old age is attained only by the fortunate. Otherwise, many young people fall victim to death and reach the dark grave before even stepping onto the threshold of old age. This can be estimated by looking at the people living in your own neighborhood or town. If the population of your locality consists of 1,000 individuals, you will perhaps see only 10 or 15 elderly men and women. The rest of the population will consist of the youth. It is evident that only 1 or 2% of people in this society are elderly. The rest pass away in the prime of their youth before old age ever arrives. Who knows how many young people depart from this world daily? Similarly, visit the largest hospital in your city and ask the relatives of the admitted patients about their ailments and ages. One will say, our relative has had stomach pain for 2 months and is 22 years old. Another will say, our family member has terminal tuberculosis and is 35 years old. Most patients will be under the age of 40. In the hospital, you will even see some children admitted, and you will learn that some of these poor children are suffering from blood cancer. Death in the prime of youth. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah states, I had a spiritual brother who was 20 years and 6 months old. The poor man fell ill with blood cancer and passed away in the full bloom of his youth. Dear Islamic brothers, from time to time, you see the funeral biers of people being carried. Indeed, it is possible that a funeral has been carried from your own home at a time when you had not yet reached the age of consciousness. You will find many people who have lost their fathers and have closed their father's eyes with their own hands after his passing. Someone has tied the toes of their grandfather. Someone has shouldered the funeral bier of their young brother, someone has carried the funeral bier of their mother, and someone has buried the small child. In short, there is hardly anyone who has not been affected by death. When a funeral is carried from a home, the angel of death, i.e. Malakul Maut, alayhi salam, stands at the doorway of that house. Seeing the people weeping and wailing, he says, why do you curse and revile me? I only come to seize the soul by the command of Allah. O you who weep over the deceased, listen, by Allah, as long as even one of you is alive, I will return to this house repeatedly and take everyone away turn by turn. If people could hear this call and proclamation of the angel of death, alayhi salam, they would forget the diseased and start weeping over themselves. Unfortunately, we do not take heed from funerals. Whenever a funeral bier is carried from our home, we weep bitterly and start praying regularly, but after just a few days have passed, we forget the deceased and distance ourselves from prayers. Why do we forget the deceased? The reason is explained in a narration. When people are returning home after burying the deceased, an angel takes the dust of the grave, sprinkles it over those departing and says, O people, go and occupy yourselves with the affairs of the world. O devotees of the messenger, when someone passes away, the grief of their departure gradually fades until a time comes when people forget their deceased relatives, children and parents, and become lost once again in the fascinations of the world. We should reflect upon those Muslims who have already departed from this world. What state of helplessness and loneliness must they be facing right now? Consider this. One day, those who carry our burdens will lift us on their shoulders to the graveyard. Today, those who call us Mr. will tomorrow call us the deceased. What helplessness will overtake us then? If at that time, Mu'adhallah, we possess no prayers, no fasts of Ramadan, and our book of deeds is filled with sins committed at every step, if Allah Almighty is displeased and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unhappy with us, how will the grave treat us? Listen to this carefully. Punishment for those who are lazy in prayer. It is stated in a narration, the grave will squeeze those who are lazy in their prayers so severely that their ribs will break and intertwine with one another. Dear Islamic brothers, remember, neither the art of karate nor the maneuvers of wrestling will save you from the punishment of the grave. Neither boxing punches nor any kind of weaponry will protect you from the grip of the grave. When the grave squeezes, the ribs will shatter and enter one another. Remember, no bone specialist, surgeon or physician will come to the grave to reset those broken bones. Instead, snakes and scorpions will be lunging at you, and the fire will continue to intensify. All of this if Allah Almighty is displeased. Look, we installed fans and air conditioners in our homes to escape the heat of this world. But we made no arrangement of prayer to escape the heat of the grave. Similarly, we made no effort to adopt good character, truthfulness, honesty, and other virtuous deeds that could have been a source of comfort for us in the grave. We only decorated our houses with furniture for comfort and built windows for light. But we made no arrangement for the window to paradise in the grave. Regret and remorse on the day of resurrection. O devotees of the Messenger, wake up from the sleep of negligence. If we do not submit to the obedience of Allah and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what will be our end? Listen carefully to the true word of Allah Almighty regarding this. The divine proclamation is, on the day when their faces are turned over in the fire, they will say, Oh, would that we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger. Part 22, Al-Ahzab. Kanzul Iman is the translation of the Holy Quran by the devotee of the Messenger, the perfect saint, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh. You should also keep only the Kanzul Iman translation in your homes. O you who do not pray, listen. O you who miss the fast of Ramadan. O you who do not pay zakat despite it being obligatory upon you. O you who have not performed Hajj despite it becoming fard upon you. O you who distress your parents. O you who shave the beard or trim it to less than a fist length. O you who play or promote video games. O you who watch or show films and dramas. O you who listen to or play music. O you who sell adulterated goods through deception. O you who deal in bribes. O you who remain embroiled in usury. All of you listen carefully. If Allah Almighty becomes displeased, His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam becomes unhappy and faith is lost, then no power in the world will save you from the punishment of the hereafter. There is still a chance. The door of repentance is open. You can repent now. Otherwise, later your education, certificates, degrees and skills will not save you from the punishment of the hereafter. Those captured in the punishment of hell will first say with regret and remorse, "Oh, would that we had obeyed Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Then they will say, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." وقالوا ربنا إنا أطعنا سادتنا وكبراءنا فأضلونا السبيلا ربنا آتهم ضعفين من العذاب ولعنهم لعنا كبيرا. And they will say, "O our Lord, we obeyed our leaders and our elders, so they led us astray. O our Lord, give them doubled punishment and seize them with a severe curse. Who is successful in this world and the hereafter? O devotees of the Messenger, only he is successful in this world and the hereafter who is an obedient and submissive servant of Allah and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As Allah Almighty proclaims, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Wa man yuti'illaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan 'azima." O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the true word. Allah will reform your deeds for you and forgive your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly attained supreme success. Reflect. In these blessed verses, it is not said that whoever passes GCSEs, A-levels, BA or BSc, or becomes an engineer, doctor, lawyer or minister is successful. Rather, it is proclaimed, "And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly attained supreme success." Today we supplicate for ourselves and ask others to supplicate for us to succeed in worldly examinations. But the real examination is that of the grave and the hereafter. To succeed in it, obedience to Allah Almighty and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is essential. Develop this mindset. We must prioritize the preference of Allah Almighty and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam over our own desires. For instance, if the nafs says it is very cold, you will feel the chill whilst performing wuzu and that you should pray later. At that moment, you must oppose the nafs and offer your prayer. This is because Allah Almighty has commanded the establishment of prayer in numerous places in the Noble Quran, as stated in Part 1, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 43. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa aqimu salah. And establish the prayer. Furthermore, our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has repeatedly emphasized the performance of prayer. Remember, whoever intentionally misses even a single prayer deserves to remain in hell for thousands of years. Moreover, those who do not pray will enter hell due to the displeasure of the Lord. When the people of paradise ask them, "What led you into hell?" they will reply that they did not pray, as stated in the Noble Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fi jannat yatasaaluna 'anil mujrimin ma salakakum fi saqar qalu lam nakum minal musallin. In gardens, asking the wrongdoers, "What brought you to hell?" they will say, "We were not amongst those who pray." Behold, Allah and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have commanded us to pray, while the nafs opposes it. Whom will you obey? Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or the nafs? Similarly, Allah's beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has commanded us to lengthen the beard, as mentioned in the hadith. Trim the mustaches short and leave the beards, i.e. let them grow. Do not adopt an appearance like that of the Jews. The nafs says, "Do not keep a beard." The boss says, "Do not keep a beard." Parents say, "Do not keep a beard." So whom will you obey? Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or the nafs? Remember, if parents forbid keeping a beard, they shall not be obeyed in this matter. Because when the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has commanded the keeping of a beard, it becomes wajib, i.e. necessary, and shaving it becomes haram, i.e. prohibited. Remember, both shaving the beard or trimming it to less than a fist length are impermissible. We should make an intention that from today onwards, we will not shave our beards, nor will we trim them to less than a fist length. The fire of hell in the eyes. O devotees of the Messenger, nowadays, music, films and dramas have become common in our society. And through their ill fortune, our society has been devastated. It is narrated, whoever fills his eyes with haram, his eyes will be filled with the fire of hell. Reflect. When a tiny speck of dust enters the eye, it turns red and the pain becomes unbearable. How then will the fire of hell be endured in the hereafter? In this regard, listen to another narration. Imam Hafiz Abu al-Qasim Sulaiman al-Tabarani rahmatullahi alayh relates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw a scene in a dream where nails were driven into the eyes and ears of some people. It was said to him, "These are the people who look at what they should not look at and listen to what they should not listen to." Dear Islamic brothers, make a pledge that for the sake of Allah Almighty and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we perform sincere repentance from watching films and dramas and listening to music. And from today onwards, we will avoid these things. Inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.